Very, very simple verse of Scripture. One that I dearly love. Romans 1:16. Those who love the message of the cross probably know this by heart. But it's very dear to me. Say amen when you get this. My Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not like this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Heavenly Father, your servant stands here this morning totally inadequate to do what you called him to do, unless you step in and anoint him, God. And Lord, I never stand in your holy desk except that I tremble in fear, knowing that I have nothing to say unless you come and say it for me, Lord. And I ask for that anointing this morning, Father. I ask that you would touch me mightily, and that my thoughts and my words would be yours, Father. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. We get to see a lot of churches in what we do. We get into a lot of places. We see a lot of people that really, really don't believe in much of anything anymore. They go to church as a form and a fashion. They go because they're expected to. Pastor, it seems like that they're there just to be seen because it's their responsibility. We've seen people fight over pews, where they're going to sit. We've seen people fuss over the simplest things. The Lord that I love has simply instilled within me a desire to be a blessing. And I have decided that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I come to that realization a while back when my wife and I were standing. I may have to use that handheld. Is that okay? I came to the realization that I was not ashamed of the gospel a while back when my wife and I were in Kroger's. And this dear sister come up and she said, "You know, Mama's having some problems. And I wish that when you have your prayer time, your private prayer time," she said, "with the Lord, that you would remember her." And it dawned on me and my wife that we were going to do just exactly what we always do if we agreed to that. We were going to get busy throughout the day, and we were going to forget to pray for Mama. And so we grabbed her hand between the beans and the peas in the frozen aisle, and we said, "We're going to pray right now." And we began to lift up our petition and our prayer to the Master. And you should see the people who will stop and not go down that aisle when you are involved in a Holy Ghost prayer in the middle of Kroger's. I'll tell you what, it'll wake them up. But I am not ashamed of the gospel. I have decided, glory to God, that I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Now, the world doesn't care what we're doing. They're not worried about us. They think we're nuts anyway. So I just give them something to talk about. Hallelujah. I've come to the place where I've begun to realize that Jesus Christ is the only thing that matters. And if you think I'm a nut, that's all right, honey. I am screwed on the right bolt. And I am going to heaven no matter what happens. And I'm having a good time going. Now I look at these people. They think we're nuts. I think from the reaction to some of you this morning that I am in the midst of some fanatics. Am I right? Yeah. Woo, my kind of people. They think we're crazy. You go home, well, Thanksgiving Day, you turn on your television to the football game. Now, it's going to be about minus 14 in Cincinnati, and there's going to be some nuts standing up in the bleachers with no shirts on, with body paint all over them, acting funny. They're going to be jumping around. They're going to be doing all kinds of weird stuff. They are fans. But if I stand up and speak about Jesus, suddenly I'm crazy. Where's the crazy people at? What's the problem? I'm just not ashamed. I've got, woo, glory to God. They'll tell you their little off-color jokes and get upset because you don't laugh. You don't think that stuff's funny. Well, what's wrong with you? I tell them right straight out, my mind don't work that way. My mind's full of Jesus. I don't have time for that garbage. I'm not going to put up with that stuff. If you ain't got nothing good to say to me, don't say it. When you come to visit Brother and Sister McMillian at their house, if you don't want to talk about Jesus, stay home, because we're going to talk about the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the way that it is. He's a consuming fire, and He makes the difference in my life. Hallelujah. There's no way to do this except to just tell you some things that have happened to me. Pastor, would you believe that I had a preacher in Kenton, Ohio stop me on the road? I was doing my job. I carried mail for 18 and a half years. He said, can you talk to me? And I said, yes, I can take a break. I've got a break coming. And he said, I need to tell you something. And we sat down and he said, you need to settle down. I said, what? He said, you need to settle down. You scare people. He said, you get up and preach and sing. He said, the veins in your neck are standing out like ropes. He said, you get all red in the face and sweaty. He said, they're afraid you're going to have a heart attack. You need to settle. He said, there's no need for all that. I looked at him, and I'm a kind, gentle person. I said, Pastor, do you know anything about being an alcoholic? And he said, bless God, I've never had a drop to drink in my life. I said, what a wonderful testimony. I said, do you know what it's like to be in the depths of sin, so low that you have to look up to even touch the bottom? He said, I've lived a moral, upright life all of my life. I said, thank God, what a wonderful testimony. I said, but preacher, you don't understand. I was the alcoholic. I was the one who was in sin so deep that I didn't know how to get out. I said, one day, a man named Jesus touched me. Oh, hallelujah. I said, I didn't take a 12-step program. I took a one step, and I was delivered. I said, how dare you tell me how to worship unless you've been where I've been?
That's right.
I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Yes.
And when I did get things right, I got in one of those sanctimonious holy churches. Brother, I wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost so bad I could taste it. And nothing was happening. I'd go to the altar. Sister would get on me and shake the dickens out of me and say, hold on! Brother, get over here and just about shake my brains out, say, turn loose. I didn't know what to do. I went to a revival one night, and the evangelist come walking down the aisle, and I was sitting about where this dear sister's at. He just, I don't know why he did it. He reached over and just tapped me on the forehead. I hit the floor like a sack of wet mush, speaking in tongues.
Amen.
And I thought, boy, that was easy. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of where the Lord has brought me from and where He's taking me. And if it upsets some of these people, then so be it. Bless God. It makes no difference to me. But you know, I still had some hang-ups. I still believe that a preacher, when he went outside, ought to have his suit on, his matching socks, and I ought to look the part. Ask my wife, she'll tell you, I was bound by tradition when we got married. I would tell her, I want to know how long the praise and worship service is. I want to know how many songs are going to be sung, because after all, I'm anointed and I need to preach. My wife would look at me and toss her head and just go do her thing. We were in Pennsylvania in East Folks' church about 10 years ago. We were doing revival. And the pastor started laughing. Just burst out laughing. I guess she's happy. My wife started. The assistant pastor started. People started sliding out of the pews and on the floor and just laughing. I don't know what was going on. Sure wasn't my preaching. I lost control of my service, Pastor, completely. I called a black brother up there from Lima, Ohio. I said, would you pray for me? My back's hurting. I might as well get healed. There's nothing else going on. He reached out to touch me, and a ball of blue fire, I saw it, I don't know if anybody else seen it or not, come out of the palm of his hand and hit me between the eyes, and bam, I hit the floor. And immediately I realized that my shirt tail was out, and that my belly was showing, and my tie was up around my neck, and I was in an undignified position. And I tried to bounce up, and I couldn't move, and I said, Lord, I can't get up. He said, I know, stay there. And I tried two or three times, and I was arguing with the Lord. Lord, this don't look right. He said, stay there. Finally, I was able to roll over. I got my shirt tucked back in. I got my tie pulled down. And as I was struggling to get to my knees, this wave of Holy Ghost joy just come over me, and I started to laugh. I laughed for 45 minutes so hard that my ribs was hurting. I said, God, you got to let loose. I can't stand this anymore. God spoke and said, don't you call that common what I have cleansed. Kind of broke me of my pompousness. But you know what? I wasn't finished. I've been listening to this redneck preacher from Louisiana. And he really irritated me. He was talking about something called the message of the cross. Brother Browning, I had seen enough false doctrine by that time that I was pretty sick of it. And I said, what in the world is this man talking about? Why should we worship an old wooden beam? And I'd get mad and turn him off. I go down the road about a quarter of a mile and turn him back on. This went on for about 6 weeks. I come home one day, my wife said, look at me, she could tell I was aggravated. She said, what's wrong? I said, that swagger is crazy. I said, I'm never going to listen to him again. Got in the radio to go over to the church, flipped the radio on. Here it is again, the message of the cross. And halfway up the road, I got it. It was like a light come on. I started shaking. I started crying. I pulled the van over and I said, God, I've got it. I know what he's talking about. Woo! Hallelujah! Yeah. And I realized that all the stress in our ministry, all the things that I was trying to make happen had already been done, and all I had to do was to just enjoy myself. Brother Donnie calls it one-stop shopping. Yeah. Hallelujah! No, I'm not ashamed. These people want to put you down and say, you shouldn't be acting that way, you know. Church should be quiet and dignified. But if you'll turn to the book of Revelation, you'll find that when the redeemed march in, and they begin to sing the song of redemption. My Bible says that in my hand is going to be a white stone. I'm going to have a new name written on that stone. But on the other side of that stone, if I care to flip it over, it's going to be, and I believe it's going to be in pure Aramaic. It's going to say, found not guilty. Hallelujah. And when we march in, we're going to have the crown of salvation, a soul winner's crown, or whatever it is that you want. But you, honey, you ain't going to keep them. You're going to take them off. You're going to cast them at the foot of the throne. Can you imagine the noise that's going to make?
Yes,
dignified, my God, it's going to be pandemonium, holy pandemonium. Yes. So until that time, I'm going to make some noise.
Amen.
I'm going to let them sinners know that I've got something to shout about.
Right.
Whoo, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There ain't nothing the devil can do about it. He can throw anything he wants at me, but it don't make any difference. You see, my battles have been won. My fight is over. My Redeemer lives, and he's got everything under control. And all I have to do is just keep on rolling down the road. Now, I know people think that we Pentecostals, especially us hooked up wired Pentecostals, they think we're crazy. My father said, son, you got to watch that religion. You'll lose your mind over it. And he was right. I put on the mind of Christ. I'm no longer my own. Thank God for that. When I'm going down the street and God says, for some unknown reason, stop here and talk to that person, I've learned not to even question. We just wheel over and do it. When he says, give that person $100 and you don't have $100, I don't worry about it anymore. I just give it to him. If I don't have it in my pocket, I'll write him a check. But I've learned. Here's one that'll upset you. God said, give $200 in the offering this morning. What? I give my tithe. Honey, we owe God so much more than that. We owe him so much more than just a pitiful little tithe and an offering. My goodness, anybody that can take the sinner that I was and take that old black heart and wash it with red blood and make it white as snow, he deserves my everything. And I'm going to give it to him. And I'm not going to be ashamed. You can look at me funny. The old microphone can act up. That's all right. It don't disturb me much. I just keep right on going anyway because I love Jesus Christ. He's everything to me. And I just wish that we could impart that to the church. Pastor said I shouldn't preach any longer than an hour and 60 minutes. So I'm going to... Listen, you should love him with everything that you've got. We were able to build a sound studio at my house. We took half of the garage and made it a sound and a recording studio. And we've been practicing in there. And John's the biggest crybaby you've ever seen in your life. He gets to singing and he gets blessed. And he starts crying, the harmony's shot. And then I start crying. You know, I'm 6'2" and been a drill sergeant, a police officer, a tough guy all my life, and I'm just the biggest baby you ever seen when the anointing comes on me. I just bawl, and I just love it. Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to you. Amen. And if you haven't surrendered everything in your life to him the way that you should have, today would be a good day to do that. Just let him have it all. Hardest thing in the world for me to do is surrender control of, to the Lord, because I've always been in charge of something. And I knew that I needed to be in charge of my salvation. But God finally convinced me that that was one thing that I could not do. I've tried being good enough to make it, and I'm not good enough to make it. I can't be good enough to make it. But when I trust the shed blood of Jesus Christ and what was done at the cross of Calvary, I know I'm going to make it. Because, you see, he's already done it. I long to hear him say, I'm trying to wind down, but I long to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But before he says that, I also dread what I'm going to hear. Because he is going to say, Russ, why didn't you stop and talk to that person I told you to talk to? Why didn't you witness to the waitress that I impressed you to? And I'm going to have to account for that. And I'm going to, yes, I'm going to make heaven, but I'm going to lose a few things because of disobedience. Listen to me. If the Lord, if you get a strange thought in your head and you think, well, this is just me, I'm crazy, do it anyway. Because if you're doing it for Jesus, you can't go wrong. He'll honor it. He'll take care of it. And I've learned anymore when the Lord tells me something, I just go do it. And the consequences are always glorious. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, church. I don't know how to say it any better than that. I love Jesus Christ with all of my heart. So if you're here this morning and you haven't given him everything, I'd just like to give you an invitation. I don't know any of you. Pastor hasn't told me about anybody. I met this young lady and her husband a little while ago back there. And that's the only people I know. And the pastor's wife and this gentleman who sings so beautifully. I like his singing. But I don't know what your life is, but you do. Jesus knows. Have you sold out? There's no doubt in my mind that our government sold us out at G20. No doubt in my mind. People get upset about that. I'm thrilled about it because it means Jesus is that much closer to coming. Two times of the year I get so excited I can't hardly deal with it. It happens in May and September because if I've interpreted the Bible right, Jesus is coming at harvest time. And I'm expecting him. I'm looking for him. I'm longing for him. And I'm going to go home when the trumpet sounds. Amen? So this morning I'd just like to share with you how glad that we are to be here. But most of all, I'm glad just to be a part of all this. Just to be a member of the blood-washed band who's going to march into heaven singing that song, holding on to that white stone. Yes. What a day that will be.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you're here and you need healing, you need prayer in your body, we'd be honored to do that with you. You see, James gave us a prescription for healing in the fifth chapter, and we should bring that to God to be filled with the attitude that God's going to do what he said he would do. You see, I don't have any problem with things like that anymore because I realize that when God saved me, he became obligated to take care of me. And he does it very, very well. And I just sit back and let it happen. Isn't it wonderful to belong to him? This is what this is all about. So when somebody asks you, go over there and testify or tell them about Jesus, or the pastor wants you maybe to give a tract to somebody, don't be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You may think I'm strange. You may think I'm a little bit crazy. But I'll tell you what, I'm on my way to heaven. And you know what? I'm having a good time going. I'm not a miserable Christian. I'm a happy Christian. Because I have found out that Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? Nobody needs prayer. Everybody's satisfied. I'm going to give this to your pastor. Last chance. We've been so glad to come and be a part of your service today. We met your pastor and we appreciate his ministry. I appreciate his spirit because I can tell that he is truly sold out. And that's what this is all about. Pastor, come on. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Russ. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That was beautiful, Russ. That was beautiful. It brings joy to my heart to hear somebody say they're not ashamed of this gospel. Because I know Russ, his background is very similar to what the Lord brought me out of and many of you. As Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, some of you were idolaters. Some of you were drunkards. But praise God. That's what we used to be. Now we're the redeemed of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Can I have everybody just stand for a moment and bow your heads. And Brother Russ has done a beautiful job under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of presenting the gospel. And now we want to give you a chance. I believe the Lord, I know the Lord wants to give you a chance to respond to the gospel. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? And Chris, if you want to play something soft on the CD, that would be fine. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? Now, I want you to think about your answer because really there's only, according to the Bible, there's only one right answer. Are you right with God? If you say, well, yes, Pastor, I'm right with God. Let me ask you this.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Why are you saying you're right with God? There has to be something that makes you right with God. Are you saying I'm right with God because I try to live a good life? I'm right with God because I go to church at Easter and Christmas. I'm right with God because I'm good to my family. All of those are wonderful things. But according to the Word of God, the Bible, none of those things make you right before God. You see, because human performance can never meet God's standard. For God to have a relationship with anybody, they have to be 100% perfect and sin-free. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It means that man at his very best does not meet God's required standard of 100% perfection if you're to be right before Him. And you may be wondering as you stand there now, well, Pastor, I know I'm not perfect. And if God requires perfection, I'll never get right with Him. No, I revert back to my question, are you right with God? Because God and His love and grace towards you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. That's why Jesus came. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of a virgin, willingly left His glory in heaven to take on human form and to live a perfect, sinless life. And He paid the penalty for your sin and my sin by giving His life on the cross of Calvary. Because that sin, that falling short of God's standard, necessitated a penalty be paid for it. And whoever paid that penalty had to be 100% perfect. Christ was 100% perfect. And He willingly took your place and my place on the cross. He met God's standard of perfection. That's why we sing about Jesus. That's why we worship His atoning work on the cross. Brother Russ alluded to it. Two wooden beams mean nothing. It's who was on those two wooden beams. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who was perfect in every way. He willingly bore the penalty of your sin and my sin, giving His perfect life as a sacrifice for our sin. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. The word there means whoever trusts in who He was and what He did on the cross will be right with God. Because God does a very beautiful thing when a person comes to trust Jesus. He takes that person when they exhibit faith exclusively in what Jesus did at the cross. And He puts that person in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. The only way to be right with God is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, in His perfection, in His holiness, in His worthiness, because Jesus Christ is the only one who's ever met God's standard. But He made provision for us by giving His life on the cross, taking our place. I want to ask you again, are you right with God? The only right answer to that question, according to the Word of God, is yes, I'm right with God because I placed my faith and my trust exclusively in Jesus Christ, His Son, and Him shedding His blood and paying the penalty for my sin on the cross. I want to ask you again, are you right with God this morning? There's only one right answer to that question. And if you said, now, Pastor, that you've explained it that way, I'm not right with God. But God has set aside this moment in time, you're not here by accident, to provide you an opportunity to be made right with Him. God loves you. God loves you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God loves you. He will not make you come His way, but neither will He deviate His way for anybody. His way is Jesus Christ. The only way to be made right with God is through exclusive faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross. And by God raising Him from the dead 3 days later to prove that the sacrifice on the cross was totally acceptable to Him. Are you right with God this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I feel the Holy Spirit moving mightily right now. God is calling you. That tugging you're feeling at your heart, that is the Holy Spirit of God telling you what that man has just told you is right. It's my truth. And I want you to be right with me, but I will not force you to come and be made right with me. But my son Jesus is the only way. I know the Holy Spirit is telling you that right now. He's confirming this truth to your heart. Do you want to be right with God this morning? There's only one way to do it. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Through trusting in what He's already accomplished at the cross. We can't be good enough to meet God's standard. Only Jesus is good enough. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask the question, do you want to be right with God this morning? Are you ready to turn your life over to Jesus Christ and begin trusting Him for your right standing with God? Are there any here this morning who would say, Pastor, based upon the way you've explained it to me now, I know I'm not right with God, but I want to be. Would you slip up a hand right now? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I promise I won't embarrass you in any way. Are there any at all who would say, I'm not right with God? I answered the question wrong. I've been trying to live a good life on my own. I've been living in self-righteousness. I've been trying to reach God through my own standard. But God will only relate to you on His standard. 100% perfection that can only be achieved through faith in Jesus Christ. Are there any who would say, Pastor, I need Jesus this morning. I need Jesus. I'm not right with God. My faith is not in Jesus. I've been trusting in something else. I've been trusting in my church, in a pastor, in a man, a religion. None of those things can make us right before God. Only Jesus can present us holy and blameless to the Father. One more time, are you here this morning? You're not right with God, but you want to be. Slip up a hand now. The Holy Ghost is calling you. I know He is. I know He is. God is extending His hand of grace and mercy to you right now. He's letting you know what you've been told is the truth of the gospel and that you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit moving so mighty. He's telling me just a moment longer. He's dealing with your soul. Your eternal destiny is on the line. I take no pleasure in telling you this, but there is a literal burning hell that God will send man. God won't send you there. That's the wrong way to say it. He will allow you to make the choice to go there. He will allow you to be separated from Him from eternity. He will not invade your free moral agency and force you to serve Him. But my brother, my sister, my dear friend, hear me this morning. This is the word of the Lord. He will not compromise it for no man. Jesus Christ is the only way to be made right with God. Faith in Him. Trust in what He did in taking our place. And paying our penalty on the cross. And it was proved acceptable to God when God raised Him from the dead. And He's alive forevermore. Do you need Jesus this morning? Are you right with God? Are there any at all? One last time. That I'm going to trust. God can save you anywhere at any time. You've heard the gospel presented to you from Brother Russ and at this altar call. In a very clear, uncompromised manner. Maybe later, when you're at home, as the Holy Spirit continues to draw you to Christ, you'll say, I need to give my life to Him. Pray then, call upon Him then. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He won't reject you. Your sin is not greater than His grace and love. He's quick to save. He's quick to deliver. But we as humans must take that first initiative and taking the step toward Him and saying, God, I need You. I need Jesus. Then He'll hear your cry, no matter who you are, no matter how great your sin. And He'll deliver you and give you a new life in Christ. Before we're dismissed, I just feel the Holy Spirit moving in a special way right now, particularly in the realm of physical healing. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. He's able to heal. Before we're dismissed this morning, I want us to pray for Sister Mary Taylor. But if you need a healing of any kind in your body right now, Jesus is the same as He was when He healed the lepers, when He opened the blinded eyes, and when He raised the dead. And He wants to touch you and heal you right now through the gift of healing of the Holy Spirit. If you need a healing of any kind in your body, I'm going to ask you to lift both hands as a sign of submission unto the Lord right where you stand. Just lift them up high and we're going to pray for you. Believe Him to heal you right now. Believe Him. Settle in your mind, He's a healer. He's the healer. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost moving mightily. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we have no healing power in and of ourselves. We call upon the one who has all power and all authority this morning. Lord, the one who bore the penalty for our sicknesses and diseases. In His blood there is healing. In His blood there is power. And Lord, through faith in that shed blood of Jesus this morning, we humbly ask for the gift of healing of the Holy Spirit to operate right now. And to everyone who has their hands lifted as a sign, Lord, there's nothing magical about raising those hands. It's just an admission. Only Jesus can heal me, and I'm calling upon Him. In the name of Jesus right now, we ask that the gift of healing fall on everyone who has their hands raised. Whatever the need, physical, financial, moral, Lord, whatever the need is, possibly deliverance, You will give it because You're a great God. You're a merciful God. And in the name of Jesus this morning, we believe You to touch in whatever way is required everyone who has their hands raised. Minister Your healing grace right now, we ask humbly, Lord Jesus. And we believe it done. Oh, I sense the Holy Spirit moving mightily right now. We believe it done right now in the name of Jesus. Receive the healing virtue that comes only from Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Give Him a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that we don't serve a statue this morning? Aren't you glad that we serve a living Jesus who is alive forevermore? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, man, it's just been a joy to be in God's house this morning. Amen. Don't you love and appreciate the ministry of Latter Rain and Brother Russ McMillian? Give them a hand for coming this morning. Y'all have been a great blessing today. Praise God. Brother Russ and Louise and John, thank you so much for coming. It's been a real delight and joy to have you with us today. They have a table set up back there with some of their CDs and ministry material on it. I would encourage you to stop by and buy some of their material. It'll be a blessing to you. They gave me one of their CDs when I initially met them at the Revival in Alger, Ohio, and I play it a lot, and it's been a great blessing to me. And I know that they have a lot of songs that they sing that are rooted and grounded in the message of the cross, Christ and Him crucified, and they'll be a blessing to you. So I urge you, stop by, bless their ministry, strengthen their ministry by buying material that's going to strengthen you in your faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for what I believe has been a mighty move of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank You for the anointing that we have sensed and felt in this service. Lord, I thank You for the wonderful singing and preaching. And Lord, I thank You for the movement and operation of Your Holy Spirit, which I believe has touched and healed people this morning. Lord, we look forward to Your soon return, as Brother Russ alluded to, and Sister Louise, You're coming soon. And Lord, this is our hour of victory. We should be lifting up our heads now, for our redemption is drawing nigh. We are not defeated. We are victorious in Christ. Let us keep our focus on Christ and on the victory we possess in Him. Bless the ministry, I pray, of Latter Rain, Lord. Continue to use them to further this great, glorious message of Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, bless our church and keep us anchored in this glorious message. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name, let the blessing of God rest upon each and every one who's here today. In Jesus' holy name, we ask and pray. Amen and amen. God bless you so much. You're dismissed.